This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and we'll be here with you until 11 o'clock. Jason Alexander. Not that Jason Alexander. The different one is going to be with us. The golf one. As we start, okay? Yes, we are underway. Ryan Palmer, I believe he was the first to tee it up this morning. He was in the first group anyway. Ryan Palmer from Texas A&M. Teeing it up this morning at 6:50 in Fort Worth at the Colonial. The Charles Schwab, and we have golf. Are you guys, is this like the Super Bowl? Is this like, Christmas morning for you guys?
Did it start already?
Yeah.
So I can't get action.
Yeah, you can. There's still a lot of guys that haven't teed off.
Yeah, but not the good ones.
What do you mean?
The good ones are already teed off.
No, the only one group has teed off so far. And it had Ryan Palmer, the best guy. Well, A&M, Aggie, you're an Aggie.
Is he an Aggie?
Yeah. Yep. He's a good guy, too. So here's the deal is we'll be talking golf this morning. Jason from Carlton Woods is going to join us. He's got his own podcast, and we'll talk to him about golf and getting started, and let's go. It is go time. And you can hear, those of you that listen to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, we'll be talking about it, obviously, on Saturday morning right here on ESPN 97.5. And so there's the end of the show. Thanks. Good day. We talk golf. There's nothing else to talk about. That's it.
Keep going.
You want to keep going about golf?
All right. I won't be talking today because I don't know anything about it, but you can keep going.
Yeah. No, I will. I'll go all morning, as a matter of fact.
Do this segment for Kevin Na.
Kevin Na, who's the defending champ.
Obviously, that's why I started with him.
Right. The defending champ. I picked him this week in my fantasy deal, too. Oh, yeah. Kevin Na. He plays there well. He does. So does Jordan. And Jordan hasn't played well. But yet Jordan plays well there. Jordan's in a really good group. Jordan, Spieth, Ricky Fowler, and Justin Thomas. Those are the guys. They all hang out together, too. Kisner's part of that group. He's a little bit older than them, but he's still part of that group that they all hang out. They go vacation together. They play golf with shorts on and no shoes. It's funny. They play a game. Four guys standing around a bottle, and they spin the bottle.
Oh, boy. Is this why Koepka wears the thong?
No.
Okay.
This one's different. It's actually pretty funny. They spin the bottle, and whoever it lands on,
gets hit.
He runs. He gets the club. No. Yeah,
and, you hit
and,
the
he, and he hit. And the, yeah. the other three run, and they hit
so
the
this,
shot.
So this just started recently, right?
I think so.
Yeah, because I saw it. Because
well, like, so we gotta explain it to you. Some other people might not have. They all run. He hits the ball, and they are so good that they can hit low shots, and they hit each other in the ass or wherever in the back as they're running away, and they're pretty good at it.
Yeah. So I started seeing these videos about 3 weeks ago where people were spinning bottles.
Yeah.
And one guy would get eggs, or I saw it wasn't a baseball, but it looked like it was something that hurt because I saw a guy on the ground. Like yelling. And then all of a sudden I saw golfers doing it. And that was probably the video that you're because I saw golfers hit, and it's just a little punch shot basically, and just screamed into one guy's butt. Just boom. And I thought, wow, that is a lot of
danger.
That's a lot of trust
that
they can keep it that perfectly aimed and it doesn't just get up there and hit you in the neck or something or in the back of the head.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not.
No, they're pretty good. They better be really good. Yeah. Well, you've seen those videos where people put their tea in their mouth and the guy.
I ain't playing any of that stuff.
No, I ain't playing that either. Ain't a guy. I don't care if it's Rory or Dustin Johnson. I don't trust anybody trying hitting a ball off of my mouth.
Knocking all your teeth out. I've also seen video. You don't have to look very hard to see those kinds of things going wrong when they're not pro golfers.
Right.
And people have gotten hit in the face with a driver. It's oh, my God. I can't delete out. I can't exit out of that screen.
Well, if you put a tee in your butt and then you put the ball in there, that doesn't end well usually.
See, I think we've got to stop saying that this is black people stuff. This is white people stuff. We got to stop
Well, but this is white people stuff.
But this is white people stuff. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be one of those people who does this anymore. I think it's it gives you free rein to take shots at an entire race, which is never a good thing.
Well, but it is.
However, in this particular instance, let me come out of retirement and say we
own that.
I don't like saying we. You do. What do you mean, golf people do.
No. You know what else is a really fun?
You golf people do this.
What are you doing?
I'm putting my mask on.
Instead of putting it, put the mic mask on.
I don't want your, in case you have it.
I don't.
In case you've got the Rona.
See, well, there's luckily there are
every
few.
Every day we're setting new records and like,
few
let's
cases
all go in, back.
It's few cases in Harris County. Oh, no, we're the fifth fastest growing
county
in the country.
Now I'm thinking, let's go back to where we were. Just till this. No, let's
this is
this
probably when we should be quarantining.
I'm actually legitimately maybe going to be at McCool's house next week.
Right.
We've got interns galore up here. And it's like, there's 2,100.
It's 2100, over, Lance. I don't know if you know. It's over.
2,100, 2,700 people in hospitals across Texas for this now. I'm like,
yeah, but the interns are young and they're asymptomatic. So, and they're rarely going to pass it on. That's what I've heard all week. Rarely going to pass
World
it on.
World Health Organization said that for about 3 minutes, and then everyone jumped on her like, no, I'm sorry. No, actually, they're super dangerous.
So from June 8th, 638 new cases to, yes, to June 10th, 2,504 new cases.
And this is where everyone goes, they're just testing more. Yeah, there's also more cases.
There's
the
also more cases.
Hospital beds are filled up.
Now, in Harris County, almost 80,000. But 52,000 have been recovered. 1,885 deaths so far. Oh, no, excuse me. No. That's Texas. In Harris County, 231 deaths, which is the highest in the state. Dallas County is second at 228. We've had 12,000 confirmed. And we've got a bunch recovered as well. So yeah, and so there you go, Jackie. There's Dr. Lance's everybody. Lance's update.
Well, this came on Monday. This is where we act like everything's fine too, which I think
what came awesome. On Monday?
Well, I got this one from a guy who's followed us for a long time. Said, "Hey, just a heads up, friend works at Memorial Hermann. They're already sending patients to other hospitals because they're full. It's not being reported, but that's what I was told yesterday." And then I got another one from someone else who said the same thing about Bentob. So I think I'm not making anything up. It's actually real. So just a reminder, so you don't give it to me or my family, y'all just, you know, you can just be a little more precautious.
Yeah.
Just be more cautious, take more precautions. That's all. Like we were doing.
Yeah.
Well, maybe do that again. Do some of those things.
Yep. Well, it looks.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
There's nothing wrong with maybe doing some things that you were doing before. I know coronavirus is over.
It's over.
And this is just probably the flu or something. Maybe some rheumatiz.
Could be. You don't know.
Yeah, but maybe just take. I'm just not going to take. Because I kind of let my guards down and then like, hey, what's with Greg Abbott saying? I'm not panicked. I'm just a little concerned about it. We're going to look into it. But we're trying to figure out why this is happening. Well yesterday I was
you let call. Everybody
we're
free.
We're trying to isolate why this is happening. Like, well, we knew this was going to happen. Why are we acting so stupid? It's just, you can't stop it. We flattened the curve. And we did a good job of that.
Mm-hmm.
And now another way to flatten the curve is backing off a little bit. Just pull back a little bit. Because hospital beds starting to full, and it has to happen. It's just what has to happen. So now maybe make a personal decision to pull back a little bit. And just say, I'm gonna stay in that. Maybe do some to-go food or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. That's all.
It's yeah, not be a big, smart. It's not, that's all. Just be smart out
just
there.
Just be smarter, yeah.
Yeah. Just go ahead, be smarter.
And don't give it to us.
Yeah, especially you kids out there that are all at the beaches and the parties and everything else. The lead was golf, obviously.
By the way, beach, this beach thing. Everyone, I notice people seizing on beach. Beach. It is open air, for one. Clubs and bars and that's way more. You're way more close than beach. I don't see people all on top of each other at beaches. Like beaches are not as tight.
No.
I always hear this beach thing being singled out. And well, then but they open the beaches.
No. Have you seen pictures of some of the beaches? They're on top of each other, and they're all in the water all together.
Well, maybe you can't practice
some social distancing at beaches, too.
When Jackie and I go to the beach together, we always are apart, you know, and that's my choice.
Well, but I've seen it with Raheel, like holding hands.
That's their choice. That's their body.
No,
their
I know
choice.
That, but I'm
their
I'm
body, helping. Their choice for Raheel and Jackie.
Right.
My body, my choice.
Right, right.
Stay away from Jackie.
Right.
Because Bolivar, where he's from, don't have rules in Bolivar. They eliminated rules. They
have some kind of topless jeeps or something there or something. You know that? Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are and there are like hundreds of arrests every year from it. So yeah, there are rules, they just don't follow them.
Yeah. Bolivar is lawless.
Right, right.
Same thing with Deer Park, where he's from.
I don't live in Deer Park.
You kinda do.
I really don't actually.
No, it's like kind of right
there.
No,
not even close.
Oh.
It really isn't.
Well, all right, so when we come back, Damian Woody was on with in the show Golic and Wingo just a minute ago, and it just struck me. Wow. What I mean is, does nobody listen to what anybody? So we'll do that on the other side. We apparently no one knows that Cal exists, so we'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, I'm going to talk about Chastang Ford and. What a great, great job they're doing over at Chastang Ford, and you are benefiting from the just the wonderful. I'm telling you, it is a wonderful dealership, and I've worked with dealerships before, and listen, they were all great, and I loved them all, but this really is different. This is family owned and operated, where the owners are right there. Are right there on site, and it just you just feel like, and they said we want it to be that you feel like you're part of the family, and I do. I bought my car there, and I feel like I am part of the family. I feel like they worked their hardest to get me the best deal they possibly could from Ford. They've got an unbelievable 84 months 0% financing that is just ridiculous if you don't take advantage of, and if you have payments that are high. Right now, and you got to get them lower. You can do this right now with a newer car, which is the thing. You can upgrade your car, even if you're upside down on it. They'll find a way to make the payments lower over a longer period of time that you can actually live with these payments now when we're in such tough times economically. So if you're looking for that Ford car or truck, and they've got them in stock, but a lot of places don't, Chastang Ford. It's on 610, just 5 minutes from downtown. Homestead, not Hempstead, just two exits from 59, east of 59. And ChastangFord.com, you can buy online as well. Just the best service, the best people, and the best cars and trucks, Chastang Ford.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
7:15 ESPN 97.5. So, Damian Woody is on with Golic and Wingo just as I'm driving in. And I'm just shaking my head. Damian Woody says, you know what we haven't heard from? And this is what I want to hear from. I want to hear from NFL owners. We have not heard from one NFL owner. And they go, well, Shad Khan put something. Okay, Shad Khan put something out. But where are the owners? Where's Jerry Jones? Where's Robert Kraft? These are the guys that they love press conferences, and they're right in the middle. And I was like, our guy did. Cal? What about Cal? Cal put out a hostage video. Nobody saw it? I mean.
No, it was an awareness video. No, it's not a hostage.
It wasn't a hostage video?
No.
He put it.
It's not supposed to be.
It was heartfelt, and there were tears when I was done watching it.
It was read off a card.
It was tears. I mean, listen, the emotion, heartfelt, I'm telling you how moving it was.
At Bill O'Brien off the cuff going on with no cue cards and just talking, and then you look at Cal McNair right afterwards, and now I see. And you know what Cal said? And this is why I don't talk.
Well,
look
no,
at you
that's,
guys try to crack on.
That's not. That's not why.
It'd been better if he put out a statement.
No, they should say, "Don't ever." That's right. Don't ever do it. But you know, they were like, "Well," and Golic Wingo says something to the effect of, "You know, there are a lot of owners in the NFL that we don't hear from." And I was like, "Bing, ding, ding, ding. That's it. That's it."
Well, Kyle would say to both Damian Woody and Trey Wingo,
"Knowledge is power."
Stop taking a man's words and trying to make them into something else.
That is power. That was a powerful ending, Dell, and you're kind of making fun of it.
Actually, on the Houston Texans page.
Is it on
there?
They've
got a thing.
They don't still have it up, do they?
No, episode
of course.
One. Oh, Conversations for Change.
Yeah, Travis Johnson's a part
of it. Travis Johnson and Cal.
Is he the former player who told him knowledge is power?
May have been. I guess it's the McNair family with Travis.
Conversations for Change, Johnson. Series.
And they're sitting around a table just talking. Now, I don't know what's being said.
Oh,
and I think it is good
matter.
That they
I already fell asleep watching it.
Well, that's because you don't know about
knowledge
this.
Knowledge is power.
If you were aware of that knowledge is power, you wouldn't react so negatively.
Did Cal make that? Off the cuff? Did he just make that up?
No, he said he sat down with the former.
Because I never heard that before.
What, knowledge is power?
Yeah.
Well, he thought it was very transformative, considering he heard it from a former player.
Hmm.
So, I think it's pretty awesome that Cal's going to be part of that Conversations for Change series.
I mean, it's just like everything is just so.
John, I don't understand your reaction. Considering when a man says this,
knowledge is power.
Can you stop playing that, please?
You asked me to
no,
grab
I didn't
it.
Lie.
You wanted to hear from Cal.
I did not
you
lie.
Wanted to hear from Cal.
I did not want to hear that over
yes,
and over.
You did?
I did not. I did not want that. That's not what I wanted in my life.
What did you want from Cal? That's the only thing you can take from that. Knowledge is power. Very profound.
It really kind of is. It really kind of is. But it's just such a, I mean, Robert Kraft and Jerry Jones and Daniel Snyder and the Rooneys. I mean, it's just like all these owners that are just alive.
Well, Cal's alive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all these owners that are people.
I mean, a message from the owner to 1.9 million followers on Twitter, and it gets 553 likes. They just retweet.
Wait a minute. 1.9 million people follow, and he got 550 likes.
I think they didn't even expect that many. They're like, oh, this went over pretty well.
Gosh, it's just that just got me. I was just like, why does our team have to have?
Do you want people to know that Cal exists? Well, you want that type of attention?
No, but I would like an owner that I would like to, that
like. Do you want
exists.
Do you want a discussion about Cal McNair on national radio?
It would be what's the worst?
Do you
that
think
happen?
Do you actually want a discussion? Like, man,
no, they don't either. Because guess what's happening to the channel?
Wait.
Hey,
no.
What's on this Pandora channel?
Like, okay, we'll get Jerry and Kraft and Rooney and Cal in a room.
That's one of those things that's not like the other.
Yeah, that's what it is. No, you know what? Here's the thing. He just doesn't need to be doing public speaking.
No.
It is true. And no,
not everybody's for
Cal.
That.
No. He doesn't need to be.
No.
That wasn't. I'm not saying that it's not heartfelt, but it doesn't come off the optics of reading something off cue cards. And we talked about it last week. It's not like this is new. That's a great example of one guy does it from the heart and one guy does it from the card. And the differences couldn't be more staggering between Bill O'Brien, who is praised throughout the country at that time for his honest words and everything. And then you have an owner who he doesn't resonate. He doesn't have a powerful voice and a powerful personality. He's not charismatic. I don't need my owners to be charismatic. I need them. It's nice if they have some, maybe, I guess. But I just need them to be good at what they're doing. He doesn't feel like he has any power whatsoever, and he's the owner of a team. It's just very, very strange, because you would never say that with Tillman. You would never say that with Jim Crane. But with Cal McNair, it feels like Bill O'Brien is really – Bill runs the team. Cal's along for the ride. That's what it feels like.
It absolutely is. I mean, since he has ramrodded his way into the biggest position in the NFL, so other than Belichick, in the biggest position in the NFL ever since Bob has died, he just has just run all over Cal.
Yeah, it happened simultaneously.
Yes, Bob died. I mean,
well, you can time it. You can almost see the exact moment.
I don't mean it this way. It's good right now that Bob is no longer with us, because he would be catching it right now. Bob would be catching it right now.
You're right.
Yep.
And I saw somebody the other day. I don't know who initially tweeted. It was a guy, an actor who I don't know. And he looked at, he tweeted out different teams and owners who are the biggest donors to Donald Trump. And so he was circling who they were. And one of the people that he circled was Bob McNair. Like, none of these surprised me. And it was Bob McNair. And Bob McNair has passed. But he was already catching
still,
it there.
It's still, I mean, catching
he was,
it.
He was, it was just tweeted the other day.
Yeah.
It said Houston Texans football owner Bob McNair. And he was circled with this yellow, you know.
He's dead.
And yeah, exactly.
Can we stop?
No, you are 100% right.
That, well, but I have a real problem with that, because he's a Republican. And when he went in, and when Barack Obama won, he couldn't have been, know your room. I get that. And but him telling about how disappointed he was in the election, he's a Republican. He was disappointed that a Democrat won. That doesn't make you a racist.
Why are you telling your players?
That's right. Know your room.
Yeah, obviously. That's a big know your room. But regardless, especially when it's something historic, like, yeah. Read your room doesn't even begin to say what a misstep that was.
Yeah, no.
Historic, there was times first. Well, yeah,
I mean,
I remember doing the show with you, and you talked about what a cool moment that was in history, that a black president. I remember we came in here in 2008, and you were making comments about that, and the owner. But I don't want to. That's in the
he's
past,
a Republican.
No, I get all that. Yeah. But right now, Bob McNair would have 100%. I don't think he would have taken, because he took very harsh stands, continued to take the harsh stands against kneeling and Colin Kaepernick and stuff like that.
The prisoners and all that, and, you know, running in prison, that thing.
Well, but
which would have resurfaced.
But remember afterwards where he was saying things where they were like, please stop talking.
Yeah.
When he talked to magazines and whatnot. Yeah.
And then I wish I hadn't apologized. And
Yes. Yeah. See, I think it would have been different. Now, it would have had to be different.
No, well, he would be catching it right. If he made him a statement and said, we need to change it, everybody would be saying, shut up.
Yeah.
You know, it would be terrible.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It would have happened.
So, you know what? This is, no, I don't, not that he's gone. It's a good thing. But that he isn't here for this time is
so
actually.
It made me think about the fact that Cal McNair being kind of milquetoast is not the worst thing in the world.
No, because no, the Texans aren't catching anything. They would be catching it right now if Bob was still alive.
Well, he would be catching
it. He would be catching it. Yeah. Well, and therefore the Texans.
But Cal isn't by proxy.
No.
Which is fair. You shouldn't judge him, you know,
by his father.
Whatever.
Well, but that whole.
No, I know. But people shouldn't be.
That
coming
just pisses
after
me off
Cal
that Bob
McNair
is a racist just because he mixed the metaphor and because he was disappointed that a Democrat won. I mean, that's just, to me, that just pisses me off all the time, because he has done. The McNairs have given $500 million to charities in this city, and most notably African American charities. So that they are. I mean, it's not like they haven't done their part, and it's not like he's not empathetic. And Bob was really a white guy. I mean, he was really an old white guy.
And right now, that's a crime in itself.
It is kind of a crime right now.
The old white guys taking L's all over the
taking
place.
L's, taking the L. It's about damn time, right, Del?
What's
old rich white guys taking the L?
You ain't going to catch me, John. You ain't going to get me saying stuff. What would you say is the you don't have to say it out loud. Think of the best moment in your life. Just think of it in your head. And if I And the next morning, it happened at night. And the next morning, I'm like, something has special. And the next morning, I'm like, well, I know you guys are really thrilled about that, but me, I really wish what happened to you didn't happen. That is the extent of what Bob McNair did.
Right.
So I get what you're saying, Republican, and he wasn't thrilled. But to walk into that room and think that was going any that, for that to cross your head and
it
say we're going to have the conversation, it is amazing even to this day that a man who has who raised his level, NFL owner, successful businessman, should be able to know how to deal with people, thought to himself, I got to get this off.
Mm-hmm.
I got first black president in history.
Yeah.
People.
Well, that's a lack of empathy for other people is what it is.
It really is. It really is.
And that, I think that's what a lot of this, that's what Drew Brees was about. It was a lack of empathy. And you know, so I get that people are.
Empathy, understanding.
Right.
It really is, though, to this day, it's mm-hmm. it's very staggering. The read your room almost doesn't, it almost doesn't encapsulate having a lack of.
It's a blinders on. Blinders.
Yeah. Like, guys, I know you are probably upset about this, too. Excuse me. Guess what? Our taxes are going up, guys. I know you're pissed. I'm pissed.
Like, we'll get
no. Mr. McNair. I think we got something to do over there at the bubble.
You know, like practice football because it was a practice.
Guys, right. I want to speak to you after practice. Gary Kubiak. let's not do that. That's hard to believe. It's 2008. Dude, Kubiak had only been here, well, it was the sixth draft. That would have been his third year. November. Yeah, so it would have been at the end of his third year.
It was Gary November Kubiak. During the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
End of his third year.
Yeah. Jack Gary's like, what the hell did he say?
Guys, I got a game.
Today's Wednesday. You
know,
I got a game.
You know, Gary Kubiak's guys, Mr. McNair is going to come down and speak to you. Gary's like, well, I don't know what this is about, but okay, the owner wants to speak. Gary's like, I'm game planning for the Colts. What are you doing?
I
wanted to just make
now
sure
nobody
that you
wants
guys
to
know
play.
That I'm on your side. This is a tough times for all of us.
We'll get through this.
We're going to get through this together, guys. I don't want you getting upset.
If you need a counselor, we'll have those available for you to talk about the trauma of Barack Obama winning.
Well, maybe he just assumed that just because that all those guys make money, they became Republicans all of a sudden.
Well,
Yeah, my buddy Clint, by the way, shout out to my man Clint Culpepper, whose birthday was yesterday. I got to get with Clint and have some beers, but with maybe masks on, we'll drink through.
Maybe you can bring him to Bill O'Brien's beer party.
Yeah, that's right. Huh? Yeah, I brought my buddy Clint.
When is that, today?
Yeah.
Yeah?
4 o'clock.
Nice.
The beer party, like four people. Empathy is one of the hardest things for men to express. That's true. Men are not empathetic. You see, Dell never empathizes with you.
Never.
He always takes shots
and
at
I'm
you.
Always, I'm downtrodden.
You're extremely empathetic.
What are we
to
talking
others?
About here?
Right.
because let's not okay. forget that John on multiple occasions, let's say consistently, will revel in reliving maybe the worst professional moment of my life.
What, when you got fired?
Yeah, that.
There's empathy.
Empathy right there. Yes, he is very empathetic.
I just wanted to clarify for everybody listening. When?
Clarify for what?
The most horrific time for Dell.
I was going to get to it, but the joy in which you reached
for
it.
He just jumped over you to say it.
He hurtled over me to get to it.
Because of his empathy.
He's like a single woman at a wedding trying to catch the bouquet.
Mm-hmm.
He was so thrilled. He's like, get out of the way, Dell.
Caught it.
Knocking other women down.
Felt good about
those
it, too.
Those videos never get old.
7:30 ESPN 97.5.
Blackland Distillery also never gets old. Yesterday it was the gin and tonic. We've knocked a hole in a bottle in the bottle for... I've got rye left. I've still got my rye left. But the bourbon is dwindling. The vodka has been gone. And we've gone through that a couple of times. The cocktails that you can make are unbelievable. But I want to talk for a second about... just the absolute, I think, distinctive flavor of the spirits themselves. When you are dealing with Blackland Distillery, you've got a grain-to-glass distillery that is extraordinary because they go right from the very start. It starts at their processes, the grains that they choose, and they have the most distinctly distilled and flavored spirits that you're going to find. Now, it is a little harder to find in Houston, but they continue to add locations. It's up to you to tell your restaurant and tell wherever your liquor store is, hey, I've heard a lot of great things about Blackland Distillery. Why don't you reach out and to that distillery and bring that in here, because I'd really like to try it. And it's huge in the Fort Worth area. It's getting big in the Austin area, and it's making its way to Houston. And you're going to find as one of Texas' only distilleries when it comes to four different spirits, there is a reason that they are being praised and lauded by so many people in the beverage industry, because they do it the right way. And you are going to taste it, whether it's in a cocktail or if you're just drinking it straight. Make sure that you check out the website at Blackland Distiller. And if you're headed up north in Dallas, around the Fort Worth area, stop in and have a tasting and go experience a distillery for yourself. It's Blackland Distillery.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
7:33 ESPN 97.5. So, Raheel has got a podcast, and it's pretty damn good.
It is. He's getting some great guests.
Yeah. Well, it's...
Nate Boyer on. David Nuno did.
Yeah.
Who was the original guy who told Colin Kaepernick, don't sit down, take a knee.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So this is through Channel 13, though, right? This one is with Justin Reed.
Through David. Yeah. It was David Nuno and Raheel. David works at Channel 13.
Right. And they're doing, they did a podcast together, and they've got, they had Justin Reed on. And Justin Reed, obviously, brother of Eric Reed, but Justin Reed can think for himself. Pretty smart young man. And Eric went to LSU and he went to Stanford. So, but same thing, really, educationally. So, no, but Justin Reed, I would think, is going to be, if not already is, one of the leading spokesmen for what's going on here and advocates. And he will be front and center. Although you don't hear from him all that often, do we? We don't hear from Justin Reed all that often.
Oh, we have. Yeah, Justin Reed's actually.
Yeah, I mean, not like he's not a trumpeter. He selects his times, and he's not like Eric. I mean, Eric is outspoken about everything. Eric seems to be in. Maybe it's just that the media picks up on everything Eric does because he was one of the kneelers with Colin. He was next to Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, if you go through Eric Reed's Twitter, and that's a place where he can reach the people he wants to specifically talk to. Yeah, he's all about it. And you just go through his stuff and say he's consistently talking about these particular issues. So maybe he's not in front of a camera all the time, but there's no question he will. His message gets out there pretty clearly.
Eric, you're talking about.
Yes, Eric.
Yeah, right. So
no, Justin.
Oh, you're talking about
Justin's Twitter is full of the what his thoughts are on what's going on in the country. He's not shy.
Yeah. No. He's Eric Reed's brother.
Yeah, he's Eric Reed. Yeah, no.
The two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. So yeah, but well, on Twitter, but yes. I don't follow him. So I guess maybe I should start following. But as far as out front cameras. Interviews.
Yeah.
This is one of the rare ones. You don't see him doing too much, actually, in front of the camera. And he's on, Raheel sent it to us. It's on his Twitter feed, questions and answers with Justin Reed. And here's a taste of what they were talking about.
I mean, no, I don't feel like they had a choice but to take ownership of it, because it was at a point that they couldn't deny it anymore. It was taking the whole nation by storm. Had there not been riots and protests and everything basically hitting the fan, there wouldn't have been an apology. But there wasn't any choice but to, because at that point, it became the overwhelming public opinion of the nation that this is actually a problem. And at that point, it became more, quote unquote, in the best interest of the NFL to actually be on the side of right instead of just trying to dismiss it.
So Rodgers catching it a little bit because he didn't mention Colin Kaepernick. However, it was a really good message. It even got the president's attention, and he disagreed about the kneeling thing, with and which he always will and always is going to continue to do. And it's going to be a shitstorm once the NFL gets back and everyone is kneeling. Now, did you see they're looking? It's going to be probably two preseason games now.
Yeah, which makes much more sense.
Yes,
I mean, it makes much more sense moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah, so instead of four preseason games, two preseason games, which is all that they need. And you don't need an extra those two games on the back end. Just eliminate the two damn games. So there will be kneeling at the preseason games. Obviously, the media is going to jump all over it. They're going to show every guy that kneels. Here's the thing is every guy is going to kneel. But it is going to be – there will be the most eyes on the first game, that Thursday game between the Texans and the Chiefs, in which – I'm almost guaranteeing that everyone, including coaches, will be kneeling for that first game on that Thursday night.
Around the league?
No, that first game.
No, around Texans. All the coaches around the league?
No, that first, I said the first game. Well, I don't know. I don't know about maybe and quite possibly, but I was talking about the Texans-Chiefs game on the Thursday night, that everyone will be kneeling and... I think there's a good chance Roger Goodell will be there kneeling.
I don't think every coach will.
I would imagine. Here's the problem.
They won't be. They won't be out there. That's what it will be.
Well, that might be a case.
Yeah, they won't be.
If you choose not to kneel, you may choose to stay in the locker room.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because I think that's probably.
Remember when it was the other way around?
It was right. No. And now, if you don't kneel, if you're a coach, you're a white coach, old coach, been in the league forever, and you don't kneel. Now you're making another statement when if every other coach is kneeling.
Yeah, they can't. I don't think it's going to be every coach, though. I don't think, first of all, you know, older people in general stop giving any F's about anything. You know that.
Yeah.
You can see that with just, like, I can see that when I go to my parents' house and I, hey, Mom, we're all going to go to the park. Do you want, no, I'm good. I don't need to go to the park. Like in the past, it's like grandma duty. Yeah, let's go to the park. And in my own head, if I were a grandma, I'd be like, oh, my God.
Yeah. No, right. Park. I don't want to.
It's 94 degrees.
Are the kids going? No, I don't want to go.
My mom does not have any issues now. Marcia will just say, you guys have fun.
Bye.
I'm going to sit here and do this crossword puzzle, this Sudoku or whatever, and I'm good.
Yeah.
You guys do you.
Yeah. So, well, it'll be interesting to see, though. I mean, if you still want to keep some career and you want to keep – listen, it'll speak volumes because every coach has African-Americans in their group.
Right.
Every coach has African-Americans in their group. So it'll be interesting to see.
Well, and you can't – and look, and let's just say it out loud for the people who are thinking this. You can't have there cannot be more than one opinion on this. Not anymore.
No.
It's just people won't allow you to have an opinion that, you know what, in my opinion – I actually see it this way with the flag or whatever. Whether you don't like that or not, it is an opinion that people should be allowed to have opinions, whether it's the minority opinion or majority opinion or whatever the case may be. But you are right about this. These people will be singled out. Mm-hmm. And people will be looking. Media members will be scanning.
Actually, that's going to be the story is who didn't kneel.
Oh, yeah, that's the story.
Because, as opposed to when it was before, knelt. Now it's going to be the story who didn't kneel.
That's why if you're a coach.
I'm going to tell you this. I think that the teams, the Texans organization, and I don't know, I can't speak for, but what we've seen out of the Texans, I think they're going to want to have a solidarity.
I will say.
They're going to want to have a solidarity as a team, as an organization.
I think every team will want
we all believe in Black Lives Matter, and we should all take a knee.
If you take now, do you think it'll be during the national anthem?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because I think everyone.
Guess who's going to be the first one in the Saints game after he said, "I don't believe in it."
Yeah, it'll be Drew. But I think it will be. I think that it will. I just think that you will have some people who say, "Wait a minute, I'm not allowed to have an opinion about this."
That's right. That's right. Because we're going to do this as an organization.
It's just dangerous as a country. No matter what I believe,
right.
I don't want to impose everything. I don't want to impose all my beliefs on anyone.
But however, you are going to be ostracized if you're not.
No, but it's the
not.
Truth. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it is the truth. You will be ostracized. And even if you had a conversation with your players, they're just going to see it differently. They're going to see this as a litmus test about whether or not you were with them.
Yes.
And
that's exactly
so it. I will say, you know, I mean, I think it's a great move for the NFL and the coaches and everyone to show that solidarity. Like, listen, the coaches probably need to put aside the ones who disagree, say, you know what, I'm going to put this aside to show you that I am with you.
That's right.
And I believe in this.
Bill O'Brien is going to have a meeting with his coaches, and he is going to say that,
yeah.
is that we have to be united here. Listen, as a team, I do not want any friction. I don't want a player looking at you as his position coach and saying, he's not with me.
Right.
So
because that's what this really
that's
is.
That's really what it is. That.
However, I'm just telling you, there's going to be some coaches, especially older coaches, who see it differently, especially older coaches who may have served in the military may see it a lot differently. For those coaches, I would not have them out there.
No.
I would say, I don't want you out there. And I don't want you out there, but then...
But then if he's not out there, he's making another statement. He's making another statement if he's not out there, too.
It's going to be tough. I will say that I wondered, and this probably isn't fair, and maybe I shouldn't even say it on the air, but I did wonder when I saw Brad Seeley, the special teams coach, retire when he retired. The timing of it all, I wondered if this was tied to what was going on, that he just, you know, maybe he fundamentally said, I don't believe in what the league is doing. I don't know that. He didn't say that.
No.
He had been around the league for 41 years.
No, I know,
years.
but right.
I have no idea.
I just thought
I'm not going to lie that it came
through. I thought he was just another special teams coach that was tired of Bill.
Just retiring right now?
Yeah, I don't know.
When football's, yeah.
I don't know.
I just thought the timing a lot of times, but it is in the middle of the summer, so it's not crazy.
And plus, there was the.
I'm just telling you, it came through my head because when I see any coaches retire now, although the end of the draft was in April, but the end of the season was a while back.
Yeah, but he did this long before the NFL's response to anything. He retired before Rodgers' response.
Well, he didn't do it in the midst of. No, I think he did it the same day. He did it when we were at when I he did it on last Friday is when it came out.
He,
and it was before Roger's official response, but Roger had made his first response, but I think it was Roger's second response. Go look at when he retired.
Yeah.
Because I was in Galveston doing a show on Friday when it happened.
6 days ago.
June 5th. When was Roger Goodell's response? Was it last Friday?
He had two responses, right?
Well, the video that Roger Goodell
did. Yeah, the
did.
Second one.
Was that a Friday
was,
video?
The second one was on Friday.
Well, Seeley were tied on a Friday, but that video came down, at least the news broke, but that video came down Friday night. Did Seeley's news, I imagine, came down Friday afternoon or morning or whatever?
I don't want to.
Maybe he had Roger's speech.
They passed it throughout the league?
No, I don't want to put that on because that's speculative.
Yeah, I don't want to speculate, but I am telling you that if you see coaches retire now, it is going to be one of the first things I think of is if they just fundamentally disagree with the league being, quote unquote, bullied into responding a certain way that is so different than the way the league responded.
Oh, yeah.
It responded, a year ago.
Right.
I mean, it's the complete and polar opposite. But I think the reason is because so many coaches and GMs and talking to Ballard about this, he just said, I just see it different. I understand. He said, I'm looking at it with a more empathetic eye that I can understand.
I really do believe that because I know I am fundamentally changed after watching Chauvin. I said, that was the straw for me.
I think there's a lot.
That was
I think
the straw
a lot
for
of
me.
Yeah.
Yep.
And if you want to look at people marching in the streets, it is all races.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all races. Yep. You see a lot of white faces out there, and some of them may have been against Colin Kaepernick kneeling without being against. See, this is where people lose nuance. People could have been against that and been for basic human rights and for minority rights and for.
And still believe that you should stand for the flag. That's right.
Yeah,
people could
could have been. But they will now see it as, you know what? I want to show my solidarity with you if that's what it takes. And maybe they won't be as offended by that gesture now.
Right. 746 ESPN 97.5, 713-780. Hey, we got you guys. Gary, Longhorn Scott, we'll get you in on the other side right here. Don't go anywhere.
Well, hello. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
I'm in London, got my beef in London.
No stylish, no.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5. Did you see the story? Christopher Columbus statue vandalized in Houston's Bell Park?
Oh, he is not safe. Those statues across the country are going to get ripped down or vandalized.
They took some time here. They painted just his face and neck red, and his hands red. This was right. I mean, directly. Me and JT threw footballs in this park. It was directly across from the building we lived in. And I went by that all the time, and it's amazing. It's still there. If you want to know the truth,
well, Jefferson Davis got his, not like he put it up. Jefferson Davis statue came down last night. He was the president of the Confederacy. And these are just citizen actions a lot of the times. These aren't government things.
Right. No. It says, and then it's got a sign around his neck, rip the head from your oppressor. So, I don't know. People are not happy with Christopher Columbus. Seems like a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. People still aren't thrilled. There's still indigenous people around. And I don't know if it's – I don't think it's even a movement from indigenous people. They're like, yeah, we told you this guy's an a-hole. I don't know. This ain't new to us. Yeah. But people
– I will say that history was – the term whitewashed, when you really dig into Christopher Columbus, it doesn't take long. Like, oh, he wasn't that great.
He wasn't the best guy. He did find America, though.
I am here. It was already found. I found it.
And we're calling you – Indians, because I'm in the West End. No, you're not.
Because it's my West India for spices, and so you are Indians. What now?
I never got why Amerigo Vespucci, one of my peeps again.
One of people.
So how did he get? Was he the cook on this on the ship?
The head off your oppressor?
What, the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria? Was he one? What was he?
Shouldn't you know that? That's your.
I don't know. But all I know is Italian culture. Again, my peeps, we got
to go to Italian culture studies and. At Knox, did they not have something there to enlighten you about your people?
No, they didn't have. No. That Amerigo Vespucci. I don't know why. What a good guy.
When is Mussolini part start? We're not doing Mussolini.
We're going to name two continents after him. What a guy.
What a guy.
Gary was first. Let's get him in here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Gary.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up?
I just wanted to weigh in about this issue, and I took a slight issue with the opinion thing, and so obviously anybody can have an opinion, and I think what Drew Brees messed up is that I don't feel like his opinion was that bad, but to hold that opinion and also not acknowledge that others, especially Black, you know, his teammates, may have a different opinion about the same issue is where he stepped in it. So I get, you know, the flag and the military if that's how you feel about it, but to not acknowledge that, you know, you have teammates, lots of them, who have not had the same experience in this country and may not look at that flag the same way. And I feel like if he would have added that part, he would have had a lot less pushback. But to push it out as like, this is my opinion and I'm offended by any other opinion, I feel like that's where he stepped in it. And a lot of NFL teams can learn from that, because I do believe people should be able to express their opinions, but it's not up to an opinion that Black people, you know, have had a harder time than white people have in this country. And I just think if people can acknowledge that, then it'll help everybody kind of move forward. So that was my point.
Yeah, appreciate it, Gary. And that's something we talked about last week is that, you know, he could have worded everything.
It was poorly.
It was really, really poor.
It's a great lesson. Listen, he fell on the sword for everybody that was thinking that, because you go, not trying to say anything about that.
Did Drew consult with Astros PR? Like, what's the move I should make here? Well, we got in some trouble when we didn't speak out earlier about stuff and let guys like the Astros instead of having prepared speeches, Lance McCullers and Correa and some of the guys who spoke in the locker room, they were fantastic off the cuff.
Yes,
off the cuff is the best way. However, as my wife and I talk about, she's been asking me a lot of questions about sports stuff relative to what is going on, and she said, how could this happen? I said, he just wasn't prepared for the question. But she asked an interesting question that I didn't expect. She said, why wasn't he allowed to give, why didn't they ask him a question about what did he think of the George Floyd situation? Because then he could have he could have said. She well, said might, that didn't seem fair. Well,
did you hear the whole interview? They might have.
No. Yeah. Well, actually, I would imagine
they
did.
Yeah, they probably did.
And that just wasn't aired?
No. Yeah, yeah. All we got was that soundbite. That's the only thing we got out of the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was, you know, he was on a podcast.
For Yahoo Finance?
I guess, yeah.
Okay, okay. So, yeah, I didn't hear the whole thing. Yeah, so maybe, yeah. Because she said, why didn't they ask about George Floyd and get his thoughts aired? You're right. Maybe they did, and maybe it just wasn't aired also because...
No, you just picked the one that's going to be incriminating.
I get how it works. I get how I understand how this situation works. But the way that he answered was just such.
No.
I mean, and he's not. I don't consider him to be a dumb guy at all.
Nobody
he's
was.
Worldly. He's not a young. He's not like he's 23. He doesn't know. He hasn't had dealings with the media. How do you just not. We talk about reading the room. How do you not have a sense of how to handle situations? How to maneuver. It doesn't make any sense to me. People have been maneuvering over women and men and politics and job stuff with bosses and salary demands. And, you know, you learn how to maneuver. We used to call it having good BS. Mm-hmm. Well, he's got good BS. It's because you know how to, okay, this is a potential this is a landmine. This is a big strength for me. I should do this. She wants to hear this. Guys have been doing this forever. Girls too, right. I would assume.
Right.
How he has no idea to acknowledge what is going on. That's puzzling once as yeah. well.
No, absolutely. Let's get Longhorn Scott in here. What up, Longhorn Scott?
Going to be super brief because I kind of have to. Here's my concern is that you know, and Lance, you touched on this right before I called in. The idea that now these coaches, right, if they don't kneel down. That's going to be the story, right? So we've reached a point in our society where, and I said, no, I'm not talking about Drew Brees, right? Because I think you're right. He could have said it a little differently. I still support the guy. But the idea that there's an opinion, there's one opinion, and it is the one you have to bow to. If you don't, you're going to be shouted down. This can be easily flipped around, though. And I think what people don't realize is that it's fine if it goes in your direction. But if it goes in another direction, that's not so comfortable. I mean, you can't both believe that there's a racial problem and it should be addressed, but also believe that kneeling for the national anthem is not the time to do it. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, and it's really scarier than anything because what's next? You know, I don't know. It's a bully mentality that people get, you know, beaten down by, and then you just finally say, all right, whatever. But it's a slippery slope. I don't know. It concerns me, man. Y'all be good.
All right.
Well, no, it
I
is
got.
A,
I got. Hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not even disagreeing with Scott, but people attributing this to being new or this society, this ain't new. It's just happening to a different people.
That's true.
This isn't new. If you have a differing opinion and it's the wrong one, yeah, you get beat down. But it's just happening to a different segment of the population. And I would say maybe certain people are now noticing how crappy that is. I don't think this particular thing where. If you don't agree, you're wrong, and you get shot down as a new thing. It's been going on.
Well, so name some examples though of where you had to think like everybody else.
Oh, you mean? I mean, you can go back to the civil rights movement. People, why do you think that was so difficult for people, for people to go get? And this is I'm talking about rights, not even opinions. If you are on the other side, your opinion gets shouted down. Women will talk about this and be like, what do you got? This isn't new. We've wanted certain things for us for years throughout America. But because we weren't the, I don't say ruling party, but the popular opinion, that stuff.
Yeah, but that was
aside.
Just like abortion, just like women's rights, like the civil rights movement. There's been two sides. There's not two sides.
There is two sides. Well, not the George
because
Floyd
you're
thing.
Listen, you're canceled immediately now. If you all of those, I can have an opinion about rights to life or not. I can have an opinion about even women's rights. I can have an opinion about that and what. And actually, there's a show now that's talking about the women that tried to stop the women's movement. You could always have two sides to a story. This one you can't. But I agree. Listen. And I don't think it's a bad thing because I think that the right side is what we're doing now. The right side is the correct side.
Yeah, but what's dangerous is to push any opinion like Drew Brees's. What Gary said is right. It was so poorly worded and he didn't show empathy and all this stuff. But to take someone to take an opinion that can be a valid opinion, whether you agree with it or not, once again, and to take it and put it in the same bin as, okay, that goes in the racist bin. That's not fair.
No, no, that's not fair. And I don't think Drew Brees was being racist. I think Drew Brees lacked empathy. Drew Brees is not a racist. He's done so much.
It definitely lacked awareness.
Yes, it lacked awareness. To read the room, the timing, everything was stupid. It was couldn't have been worse. But I don't think he's racist. No. I think he believed that, you know what, I still believe in the flag, and I don't want to kneel. Well, he just put it so poorly at the worst possible time. Everything about it could not have been worse.
Yeah. But I do think it is a very the cancel culture started with social media, because then it allows it's not a magnifying glass. It's a megaphone of people who, I have 20 followers. Okay, here's what we do. We put a person's name. Don't at them. Don't use their handle. Use their actual name, because if we do that over and over, it gets trending. And then people search for trending topics and they look at it and it looks like an avalanche on top of people, and it scares. Those numbers will scare people in power, or whatever the case may be. And then it makes people fearful. It makes news or agencies fearful. And this goes, and this has been going for both ways. There have been news agencies that have probably, I don't ever want my news filtered with your opinion. There's certain things I understand. There's opinion programming from, you know, MSNBC, and there's opinion programming from CNN. There's opinion programming from Fox. There's opinion program. I get that. I understand that. And I understand I'm getting a slant when it comes to my news. Like, this thing with the World Health Organization is very, very troubling to me, because one second a doctor comes out, and I watched it, and she said, it's kind of rare. Then the next moment they're walking it back. Like, I want to make sure nothing is being touched by because I know everything's politicized. When it comes to facts about a pandemic and coronavirus, economic stuff.
I don't want
a
political slant.
Please give me my information, and then I can go for any opinions wherever I want. But please don't mess with my facts that I need.
Because you're just about the numbers guy. That's why.
I'm a numbers guy. Please give me real numbers.
Right. And have you given your update this morning? Because Jackie wants to know if you...
Yeah. We got to set an all-time record for hospital bed usage for coronavirus yesterday.
Thanks.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bolivar. Thanks for reporting those.
Oh, by the way, Bolivar has zero cases reported, but they have zero testing. So.
I'm just going to...
People are falling in Bolivar, just falling on the side of the road. But they don't know why. Yeah. They don't know why.
What's wrong with him? Heat stroke.
Okay.
Heat stroke.
But they got the water.
Him? Nope.
They got the water right there.
Yeah.
What? Right there. 802 ESPN 97.5. Time for me to talk about John Clay Wolf and GiveMeTheVIN.com. John Clay Wolf says this is the best time for you to... He has given us numbers on cars. Like F-150s and F-250s and pickups and all any brand. He said it's unbelievable what he's given for them now, because when he goes to auction, they're buying them up because there's a shortage of new cars right now. So this all trickles down to you. So if you've got to sell that car, then John Clay Wolf says, I'll buy it. Okay. And he'll do it through the dealership, Chesting Ford. He will do it through the dealership. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVIN.com and find out how much. Because here's the deal. If you got to sell that car because of finances and you can't make those payments anymore, so you want to sell it and you want to get into another vehicle that's going to be a lot cheaper, well, why not get the most you can possibly get? And John Clay Wolf says, I will give you the most, period. If I can't beat CarMax, if I don't beat CarMax's offer, I will send you $100. Who's doing that? John Clay Wolf, and that's it. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.